Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Today we want to wrap up our study of what the Apostle Peter says to those who suffer. In other words, what God has promised to His people who are suffering. The text is 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's the text. And I don't need to remind you that the subject of suffering or trials has come up repeatedly in Peter's five-chapter epistle. He may deal with that subject more than anyone else in all the New Testament. It almost seems like it to me as we've worked our way through, but I really have not made a careful analysis. But he certainly has an awful lot to say to people who are suffering, and that's very helpful because all of us suffer in various ways. All of us suffer at one time or another. And I'm not going to try to review everything. That would be foolish. But I do want to review this. What God has promised to sufferers is very important. It is, number one, that our sufferings are temporary. They don't seem like it while we're in the midst of them, particularly if it's a rather long trial. But God has promised our sufferings are temporary. And number two, our sufferings are purposeful. They are appointed by God for a wise and gracious purpose. And God Himself has assured us of that. He has guaranteed that to us. And God, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, has promised to restore, at some point, will restore everything that we lose through suffering. And so if sufferings are only temporary, and they all have a divinely appointed purpose that is wise and gracious, and if at God's appointed time everything that we lose in suffering will be restored, then what should our response be to sufferings when they come? And that's the next verse, and we'll look at it after I welcome you to this Wednesday, August 6th edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and give my grateful thanks to those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. All right, these things being true about our sufferings, what should our response be? Here it is, verse 11. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's the response. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's a doxology of praise to God. And it follows this statement about suffering. Let me read the two verses together. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What should our response be to sufferings? It is to praise God. It is to praise the God who has promised that our sufferings are temporary, and that they are purposeful, and that they are divinely helped, and that all that we lose in our sufferings will be divinely restored. Our response is to praise God, to lift a doxology to God, who acts in this way on behalf of His people. To lift a doxology of praise to God, to Him who alone is worthy of our utmost praise. to raise a doxology of praise to God, who is worthy of all of our praise all the time, and especially it is fitting when he has revealed to us a specific example of his wisdom, love, and power, as he has in helping us to understand and deal with our sufferings. What has he done? He's revealed something of himself, who he is, his character, why we can trust him, and some of the promises that he makes to people who suffer. And our response should only be praise. Now, I don't need to tell you that that doesn't come naturally and it doesn't come easily, but it does come supernaturally, and it does come with the aid of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And if you find that impossible, may I suggest that perhaps you don't have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to help you? Would I dare to suggest that? Well, I would dare to suggest it. At least it's something that we ought to consider, and very carefully. We need to be concerned when our responses are not the ones that the Bible describes for the children of God. The Bible tells us how unbelievers respond to trials. The Bible tells us how believers respond to trials, by the help and grace of God, of course. And this is how believers do. Praise to God. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, if you have trials and you respond like an unbeliever, in doubt, in fear, in complaint, in questioning, I don't understand why this happened to me. I don't see why this happened to me. I can't understand why God would allow something like that to happen to me. If you respond like an unbeliever instead of like a believer, then what makes you think that you are a believer? Really now? How do you know that you're a believer? I mean, this gets back to some basic stuff, of course. And we're not really dealing at this time with assurance of salvation or how we can know that we are truly saved. But yes, we are. I say we're not dealing with it at this time, but yes, we are, because that is a very important application of what we see here. Here, in the Word of God, is a description of the way that God's people respond to trials. Those who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, their hearts have been changed. Those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and thus are given supernatural enablement. This is the way they respond to trials. Maybe not their first response, but it will be their thoughtful response. It will be their long-term response. And if it is not your response, then why not? What's wrong? Because our response should be praise to the God who is so wise and so powerful that he can shape our trials in such a way that they do us good, and in his time restore everything that we lose in our times of suffering. We should praise such a God as this, and we should praise the God that guarantees the promises that he has made. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Dominion, that's a word that means strength, power, and universal rule. We praise God's ability to dominate, to subject everything to his purposes. That's marvelous. It's wonderful. If we have already, by his grace, become his subject, we have already been subjected to his purposes, and gladly and willingly so. Now, that's not such a good thing if you are an unbeliever and your subjection to his purposes is going to be a subjection of judgment and forced subjection. But again, what does that say about people who claim to be Christians, but they just can't seem to find it in their heart to subject themselves to the providences of God? The severe providences of God, the difficult providences of God, but nevertheless the providences of God. What does it mean to be a subject in Christ's kingdom? Well, it means to be subject to the rule of the king. And when you are, then you praise the God who wisely orders the events of your life to grow you, to sanctify you, to make you more like Christ, to fit you for heaven, and to bring you through your sufferings stronger, purer, better, more valuable than ever before. And if that is just not anywhere in your thought processes, again, why not? Why not? Why have you not been enabled to think this way? Why has your mind not been turned in this direction? Why do you find it so difficult to submit yourself to the sovereign purposes of God? Why not? We praise Him. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This one who has promised to bring us through trials that have been wisely and perfectly ordained and perfectly shaped for our good, and to the God who has the power to fulfill such a promise. That's great assurance. Amen. So be it. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that concludes the body of Peter's first epistle. The Amen informs us of a conclusion. Now, there is a little bit more to come, but this is basically the conclusion of the main body, the contents of Peter's epistle to believers. And in these closing words, there is hope, there is assurance, there are promises that God's children can rest upon. There is assurance of future and eternal glory. There is assurance of God's personal presence and unfailing aid. There is assurance of significant spiritual good from all of our trials. There is assurance of prescribed and minimal duration for all of our sufferings. There is assurance of the indestructible and inseparable love of Christ. And to that we say, to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. From depths of woe He brought us. Through depths of woe He is bringing us. To indescribable glory He is taking us. That's what Peter is saying. That's what I am declaring. That's what you are believing, embracing, and rejoicing in if you are God's child. And that's what you need to embrace if you are having difficulty. Acknowledge your need of Christ. Go to Him in repentance and faith. Ask Him to give you a genuine heart of faith that trusts Him not only for the joys of life, who couldn't do that, but for the trials of life. Trusts Him. Trusts Him because you believe He's wise. You believe He's good. You believe He's powerful. That's what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.